Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just listened to an episode of Nerdy Legion, and Martin decided to step back from podcasting, with the exception of Nerdy Legion. He was doing a few Comic Talk Today, which he kind of hasn't done much in the last few months, let's be honest. And then he did Aftershock Central and Valiant podcast. The Valiant, what was it called? I can't even remember what it's called. Valiant Central. I was gonna name my podcast, which is with Daryl and Chris, the Valiant podcast. I miss that. There's a tight community in that Valiant world. I'm sitting here drinking my cheer wine, chilling out on a Friday. Had a good Thursday and a bad Friday. In other words, I thought things were working on Thursday, and then I come in today and do some more tests and realize they're not. So I ended on a bad note, which I hate to do for the week. Oh God, I hate that, 'cause sometimes it like just circles around in my mind, especially when I'm trying to rest. Just the way my brain works. So when I'm on retirement, it'll be a different kind of worry, I'm sure. But hopefully I'll be more relaxed. Yeah, he's given up on the Bat podcast, the Bat Pod, and just decided to stick with Nerdy Legion. And I've sometimes when you take time off, which he did, there you start to realize, man, you're like, man, there's all this time I could be doing X, and you don't realize, even though you're having fun. But I could see where he's coming from, and he took a lot of like 2 week vacations and stuff like back to back, and he probably realized, I really want to do this. All right, I really want to do that. And how am I going to do that if I have 25 podcasts? And here I am. I don't really extend myself too much. I've been appearing occasionally on Gotham by Geeks again, and that's just Daryl will let me know if they're shorthanded, and I'll appear on that show. And then I appeared on a Comics for Fun and Profit, and I've always had this open thing with Drew to say, hey, if your brother can't make it, you can always call me. I am not doing shit on Friday. I'm not a partier. I'm home on Friday night. And there was some crazy shit going on my wife's drive. She's still at work, so she didn't get caught up on it, but a lot of streets, her drive home is going to be interesting, because of her normal route. There was a police chase today, and it involved a lot of cars and closed down multiple streets. And the after, I can't imagine being in that mess. My wife was posting some video on Twitter to me, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy shit, man. I mean, people are insane. But that probably ruined 30 or 40 people's weekend, because now they have to deal with car insurance and all that stuff because some idiot decided to run from the cops. It's probably high on drugs. Who knows? But there was that fiasco. I don't even remember where I was going. See, that's how I podcast. I just kind of like to start talking. Well, I was in Comics for Fun and Profit. And what else? I have my own podcasts. And I do DC Spotlight every other weekend. So what I wanted to do with a new podcast, DC W6, is to put it on opposing weekends, and we're gonna kick that off this week. So I hope you give that show a try. It's DC focused, but the rules are very loose. It's non-superhero DC, and it's called DCW 6, and it's like if Elmer Fudd was saying all the genres that weren't superhero, like fantasy or romance. Some of them are real true Elmer Fuddisms. Some of them are not, like Wi-Fi. I don't think he would say Wi-Fi instead of sci-fi, but we're covering all the DC genres, and the rules are you can do DC and you can do any company that DC's acquired. So let's say you wanted to do a Fawcett that was, I don't know if Fawcett did non-superhero, but if you wanted to do Charlton, they had a lot of non-superhero stuff. And same with Quality, you know, that's where GI Combat came from, and Black Hawk. So there's a lot of different material to choose from. So that podcast is really not going to take time for me, other than that's one more weekend of one weeknight I lose. And then I have Geek Brunch Retro, which is every Sunday morning I usually record a podcast. And it usually alternates between the two. And that's pretty much my schedule. And then the mic ams is just whenever I fucking feel like it. And this cheer wine is delicious, but it's the only thing like clearing my throat. My allergies, extremely bad. We're in fall, and I think there's a lot of crap going on. Got my flu shot already. It actually hurt this time. Like, I don't know if she just like hit it hard or hit a nerve or something, and she punched it in my shoulder. But after I got over that, I had like mild symptoms of fatigue and pain, but it went away. So hopefully that shot will keep me from getting the flu. I think I'm a week in, so I think it's effective if it works. And the last couple of years I've been good, although last year I did have a mild case of the flu, but I did recover quicker than normal. Usually it'll take me out like 3 months, maybe longer. And this time it was only like a couple of weeks. So I think it works for me in general. And what else is new? I have a few questions. I've gotten a lot of comics. I've bought two romance comics. One was a Charlton. Well, actually, it's not a romance comic. It's about doctors. But it says, "Thrilled to the Drama of Young Doctors." The title's called Young Doctors Issue 1. Two handsome, dedicated young men in a never-ending battle to save human lives. Landon, courageous young surgeon who hated pain. Burke, dashing young psychiatrist who shed light on darkened minds. looks interesting. And then I got from DC Comics Young Love number 67. And it looks like it's a husband and wife kissing on their marriage day, and there's a woman who looks like a bridesmaid looking in, and she's has a thought bubble above her head, and she's saying, "He wanted me. I lost him because of one stupid mistake." A searing love story about a girl who cried, "I gave my love away." I think Siri thinks she's answering me. And
Sorry, I couldn't find anything called Love Story about a girl who cried.
I don't know how that she's been triggered. She's been sensitive lately. Matter of fact, there was a commercial on what was it on? It was on the TV, and it said Siri or something like that, and it kicked off my phone the other day, and I thought that was interesting. Because I thought it was specifically tied to my voice, but obviously not. So, I got the Reed collection. I got Kazar. I call him Kazar, but I guess you could say Kazar because there's a dash in there. Kazar! And Return to the Savage Land, Fabulous first issue. Number one, I got Where Monsters Dwell, number seven. I really found out I liked reprints, and a lot of these Marvel horror reprints are there. I got Tomb of Darkness, number 20. Looks really interesting. It's got like a skeleton, a hooded skeleton going over a woman and says, "I've searched for you for weeks, dear Mara. Aren't you going to welcome home your husband with a great big kiss? The kiss of death." And then Tomb of Darkness, number 19. It looks like this spiritual deity is saying, "Child thing, you have sought knowledge of things best left unknown, and for your curiosity, you must die." Interesting. I got Man Thing number 14, Man Thing number 12, Man Thing number 3, Man Thing number 2. I got an inventory of these still. Man Thing number 9 and Man Thing number 11. Obviously, I'm trying to get all of my Man Things out of the way. Warp Graphics Annual number 1. This was a freebie that Reed gave me, and I don't have much from Warp Graphics. They had ElfQuest, Distant Soil, Blood of the Innocents, Misadventures, Captain Obese, Thunder Bunny, Panda Con, and Unicorn Isle. This is from North Star. I might have this one, but this is definitely not this cover. This is Cold-Blooded number 1. This package contains one deluxe edition of the premiere issue with the foil embossed logo, full color center spread poster, and then one standard edition plus a limited edition full color print. So I definitely don't have this one. And that's cool. That was a freebie too. Where Monsters Dwell number 2. Reprinting old Marvel comics, Where Monsters Dwell number 5. Monsters on the Prowl number 16. It has a King Kull story backed by popular demand. The Serpent God of the Lost Swamp. Monsters on the Prowl number 10. That's a great cover. An egg hatches and the world trembles and the creature comes out. The guys, run, girl, run or die. Heaven help me. I brought the rock to life. Crypt of Shadows number 13. Nice cover. Crypt of Shadows number 4. Captain Savage and his L Leatherneck Raiders number 5 and number 8. So I'm starting to get I think I have like 6 issues of this series now. Creatures on the Loose featuring Thongar. I do have all the Man-Wolf Creatures on the Loose, and it looks like I'm going to get a full run of this. We have another one, issue 22. Creatures on the Loose, number 14. I have a Marvel movie special, The Island of Dr. Monroe. Man-Thing, number 4. Number 5. This is the second volume, I believe. Number 6. And number 11. We have Astonishing Tales featuring Kazar and Doctor Doom, number 8. Astonishing Tales featuring It, the Living Colossus, number 23. This issue I know I had, but I don't have it inventoried for some reason, or if I still have it. But Reed sent it. I said to give it to me anyway because it wasn't in my database. It's number 4. And I remember this comic from my early years, elementary school, I think. Somehow I traded for it and maybe traded it back. We have the Beware number 4. That's a really nice cover too. We have Spoof number 1, number 2 and 3 and 4. This one looks like it's spoofing off All in the Family. It's called Brawl in the Family. And a spoof that looks like it has the Beatles on it with Richard Nixon. Interesting. There's Elvis. And this spoof looks like a spoof on Blackula. Interesting. Number four and number five. And the number five is a spoof on Rod Serling, The Twilight Zone. So that's from Marvel Comics. I don't have any of the spoof before. So I like when Reed says, "Hey, I have this," and it's something I've never seen or wasn't aware of. And I kind of like all comics, so I kind of want to read them all. Matter of fact, I've been in the latest mood I've been is me and Bill were doing a geek brunch, and I finally read some Valiant again, Punk Mambo and the death-defying Dr. Mirage. And I'm like, man, I need to get caught up on this stuff. This is excellent. Punk Mambo, I read 1 through 4, and I still got to read 5, the conclusion. But man, if that was an ongoing, I would love it. It is so good. That's Cullen Bunn. He does a really good job with it. I'm having a good time with that. And the Dynamite, I've been into a Vampirella. I'm reading the Red Sonja Vampirella. One of my artist friends, Drew Moss, is drawing it. And story's really solid. She's sort of like a reporter that goes to Russia to find these hikers that have been missing. It sounds like a movie I watched like on Netflix not too long ago, like maybe a year or two ago. It was based loosely based on a true story, and kind of takes that plot. And she goes to Russia and finds that some people are saying, "Oh, it's a Yeti that's killing people. It's this," and it turns out to be Sonya. But that it's she's possessed essentially. She's kind of lost her mind. Really good. And then Vampirella, Christopher Priest. The art was amazing. The story's very captivating. But it's her basically recalling her some of her life stories to a psychiatrist that doesn't even believe she's a vampire. So we'll see how that turns out. But I've been into the Dynamite. Dynamite gets shit on a lot, and it man, I there's sometimes it just I get into these moods, and I find I'm doing this experiment with X-Men and Absolute Carnage. And I'm finding I like those the least because I'm a mood reader and maybe I'm not in the mood for it, but I'm keeping caught up on it. Although I do think the finale to the X-Men books pretty damn solid. Did really well. Looking forward to issue one. I picked up issue one at the comic store early so I could try to keep up on it, and they gave me a free pack of cards, and I was gonna open them up. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. Got a lot of collected editions in the mail. My, to DCBS this week because they had 1 week where they lost an employee or two employees, and they were like, "Sorry, but you're not gonna get your shipment until this week." So I had this week's shipment I had to process, and I have to process a lot into the database. I have 3 weeks worth of the comic shop and 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 weeks worth of DCBS, and possibly getting another one tomorrow. So, you know, we're talking about like 60 items, 120 items plus another 40 or 50. And I got to get them into the database and cataloged. But let's go on to a few questions. Haven't done these. I thought I would clear them out, and then I'll be back to zero questions and have to pull people. From Nick Wetmore, I got, "What's your next omnibus and epic collection you plan on tackling?" I still haven't decided, Nick. I have a couple that I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about some Silver Age X-Men, like when it first starts, because I've been reading some of those issues on Marvel Unlimited in the middle of the night, and I've been really enjoying it. And it's an area I haven't read and hadn't experienced these old X-Men, the Kirby and Lee, and then I can't remember who took over that after that. Roy Thomas, maybe. But and then there were some reprint issues. And on the epics, I would like to get in. I have two things I need to finish first. That's the way I work on trades. I have to finish the Conan Epic Collection Volume 1, which is reprinting the Dark Horse Kurt Busiek stuff. I'm about three quarters of it completed. I started reading that Apocalypse Brown, or that Charlie Brown futuristic story where it's apocalyptic. And I want to finish that before I pick what my next one is. There's a Werewolf by Night omnibus. There's some. I would really like to do some Golden Age Superman. That's another thing I've been thinking about a lot. There's just so much to choose from, and I don't know where to start. But I'm thinking it might be Superman, X-Men, or I don't know, maybe some Werewolf by Night, like horror, or Man-Thing, or Howard the Duck. It's interesting how much those nerdy Legion guys don't say they don't like Howard the Duck, but man, I wonder if they've ever read Steve Gerber Howard the Duck, because God, it's just so good. But I am so Steve Gerber biased. I don't know, his stories in Defenders and Man Thing and Howard the Duck, anything he touched was sort of gold to me. He's one of my top five writers of all time, for sure. Steve Gerber. So, that's another thing I could get into. I bought the Marvel Masterworks Defenders, and I've been rereading some of that, and I could just get out the physical. I've been reading that on Marvel Unlimited as well. Specifically the Steve Gerber issues, and that is another thing I would like to, maybe even Hulk, some Bronze Age or Silver Age Hulk. Everything sounds appetizing. Regarding the DC Trinity, what is the first issue you recall getting for each of the heroes? Golly, you're asking tough questions. You know why they're extremely tough for me, Nick? Is because I buy so many comics. So it's tough for me to think of all the first issues of I've like I the one I remember is first issue of Defenders I had. Superman, I'm just gonna go to my database, and a lot of the older issues I bought way later in life. So, I would have thought my first issue of Superman would be around 77, somewhere around there. Actually, this is tough, man, because some of them had no cover, because my dad would take me to the dump. And we would get coverless comics. But I would have to say it was Superman 278, which is a 100-page giant. And it had this cowboy on it. I forget what his name was. Terax Man? And it had a lot of old reprints. So I think that was the first Superman comic that I ever got. 278 with a cover, no cover on it. But looking at the cover now, it sure looks like that is what I remember reading. My first Batman that I bought with my own money. No, I remember this one, but I think it was Detective. I don't remember the number, but I remember he's kind of like in a, like not a coffin, but like if you're in a mausoleum and he's laying on a slab. So I'm going, I think that was a Detective Comics issue. My first issue of Wonder Woman was in, is interesting, and I'll tell you why, because it's not a Wonder Woman comic. And I threw Justice League out. So, man, I have a lot of Detective. Still in the 15 cents in the 400s. I know it was a 20 cent issue. So how many of the covers can there be so I could tell you which one I remember? I remember the cover, so I'll know. Ah, crap. I just lost it. It's like four. It's amazing how the prices went. Let's just say edit jump to 411. Let's just start there. 411. See where we're at. Yeah, that's 15 cents. And I know this was a 20 center. I'm not gonna find it. See, this is where memory just goes. I can remember the cover, but I don't remember the number. It's like Chris Campbell, he knows the numbers, or at least ballpark of numbers, and I don't. Now I'm in the fifth, the giant size. Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna find it. But I'll tell you, it's somewhere in the 400s or the 450s. Is it was a 20 cent issue. That's 25 cent issue. So I'm getting, oh, this could have been it too. But I think I had one earlier. But I'll just throw it out. Detective Comics 450. I remember this because it was like a wax museum. They're dumping wax on Batman, and they had already, you could see the wax figures of like Napoleon and Abraham Lincoln, and it says Batman caught in the cape and cowl death trap, and it says also an issue of Robin 25 cents. That was one of my early ones, but what I should have done before I started podcasting is read the question and then go search, you know, have some time to search. Maybe it's before the 52-page giants. That'll be something if I don't have it and I remember it. Yep, I don't know. Maybe it was a Batman issue and I'm thinking detective and that's why I can't find it. Could be. Could be. So I give up. But it was a 20 cent issue. It was probably a Frank Robbins story. And it just ain't coming up. But I want to find it because if I don't have it, it's going to blow my mind because I remember even buying it again. Like having possibly two copies. Oh well. If you see Batman laying dead on a slab of rock in like a mausoleum. That was my first issue of Batman. Could be anywhere from 400 to 450, somewhere in there. The Wonder Woman one is easier because it's not in Wonder Woman proper. It was in Freedom Fighters, which is one of my all-time favorite groups. And I bought this one off the spinner rack. And it was Freedom Fighters number 4. And they're all attacking. It has the Ray, Black Condor, the Human Bomb, Dollman, and Phantom Lady. And Wonder Woman's saying, "You and your band of freedom fighters are outlaws, Uncle Sam, and it's my job to bring you in." So, Freedom Fighters number 4. I gave you Superman, roughly around 350 or somewhere around there with that cowboy. I can't remember his name. And then a Detective Comics I can't find. So I was very unsuccessful at answering your question. Dude on a Map, which I haven't heard from him in a long time. I wonder if he's still around. Do you have any favorite books that aren't comic related? Novels like The Stand or Lord of the Rings? Just curious with all the comics you have read, don't know if you've had time. Well, I haven't read a novel in a long time. The last novel I remember reading was Misery, and I still own it, the Stephen King. And I enjoyed that quite a bit. It's not that I don't enjoy novels, it's just they're such a long investment for me. I think I have like a short-term, kind of like, I like to go beginning to end quick, and the comic book gives me that. And a book is just like a long-ass thing. I'm currently reading Joyland, but and it's not that it's not bad. It's really fantastic, and I remember everything that I've read of it to date. I'm about halfway through, and it's a Stephen King novel, and it's a hard case crime. And I read about 20 pages every other month, so they give you the pace. But I do like John Steinbeck a lot. But I haven't read him since high school and before. I read a lot. One of my favorite novels and movies is Of Mice and Men. I love that. I love it a lot. So, hope that answers your question. You're probably not listening, but everybody else will listen to your question. Dallo, big Valiant fan. He said, on the last episode of the Valiant podcast, before it took a long break, there seemed to be a general vibe about the demise of Valiant and whether there would be a film released. How do you assess the health of Valiant now in terms of commercial success? Well, we still don't have a film. It's yet to be determined what Bloodshot will do. I hope it does well, because you have the Vin Diesel fans, so maybe you'll have some cross-pollination of his fans going to see the film. I don't think there's a lot of Valiant fans. There's probably like 10,000 of them. And I just judge those by the sales numbers. And I still think that their sales numbers are roughly in the same place. So, I don't remember ever giving a bad vibe of it. I remember Campbell and some people losing interest, but I never lost interest. I think they're strong. Matter of fact, when we were talking last time, I remember talking about it was like the Harbinger Wars or something like that. I've enjoyed what I've read, and I enjoy the universe. And I didn't see a decrease in quality with the change of the regime. Some people may have, and maybe it's because I read things when I feel like reading them, and I don't read them month to month, that I don't feel some of the change as much as doesn't feel drastic. It doesn't feel different. I've been really happy with Valiant overall. I think they're still on target. I think they're still appealing to the same amount of people. I think that the people that are collecting Valiant still collect Valiant to some degree. And hopefully it's enough to keep everything going, because I hope they have some success. I hope the movie generates some excitement for Bloodshot at least. I heard they have already decided to ditch the Harbinger crossover, and they sold the Harbinger rights to another studio. So continuity wise, I don't think it's going to be as continuity as VH1. VH2, and then VE, I guess Valiant Entertainment, if you want to call it that, the current regime seems not as continuity driven, and you can pick up a book and not know about all this other stuff, and there's not any, like, usually you won't see one of those characters in your story. You know, they currently have Punk Mambo. You can read Punk Mambo and you're not fazed by anything. Dr. Mirage and not be fazed by anything. You know, they might mention the Dead Side, and you have your mentions maybe of Shadow Man, but not so much. You can read the story as your 5-issue, 6-issue series and just be done with it and enjoy it. And it has its own continuities with the characters, but you just don't see that, like, company-wide crossover. It would be nice if Valiant did one just to inject a Unity kind of thing, like they did their own Unity crossover again with maybe, what was her name? Mother? I can't remember her name. Erica Pierce. I thought of it. So yeah, that would be really interesting. Dynamite played around with the solar aspect of Erica P Pierce indirectly. And it could be interesting on who owns Erica Pierce, because of she was, if I remember correctly, a Solar Man of the Atom character. So yeah, this episode was like all over the place, and I didn't really answer a lot of the questions. Nick's questions are tough because he asked very specific, and I'm very unlike Nick as far as, like, he'll remember who drew a cover or who. I'll remember stories. I won't associate him with numbers, or creators necessarily. Some of them I can't get away from not remembering the creator, because the creator contributed to so much of the title, like Steve Gerber to Howard the Duck, Man-Thing, and Defenders, or, you know, characters like Mike Grell, you know, when you talk Green Arrow and Warlord and stuff like that. But I'll be back in a moment with a couple of weekly reads, and then we will wrap this up, and I'll have another one in the books. All right, I'm back, and let's get into the reads. I'm going to try to do 3 weeks, so this is August 26, 2019 through September 2nd. We'll start at the bottom. Actually, we'll start with the movies. We had some good movies watching that week. We had Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That was Guillermo del Toro movie, a spooky movie I saw at the theater, 4 out of 5. The 5 out of 5 was Sleeping with the Enemy. This was the third time I watched it. 5 out of 5, I love that movie. Julia Roberts and a crazy husband that abuses her, and she fakes her death, and he finds out later. The comics for that week, I didn't even total these. My God, I'm an amateur night tonight. 11, 18. Man, that's pathetic. 18 comics read that week. Amped number one was a 4 out of 5. There were no 3 out of 5s, so the Amped number one. This was a group of handicapped kids that have this from Red Giant. We didn't even go over the spread. Oh, for that week there was Vault. We had one. Red Giant. We had one. Image. We had one. DC. We had 11. Cave Comics. We had one. Ahoy Comics. We had one. American Mythology. We had two. So Amped is a 4 out of 5. A group of handicapped kids that have become. This was by Brian Augustine, I remember. By controlling these unique robots with each having unique powers. So they're kind of like are there still handicapped, but it's like they can manifest a Power Ranger. I think they're still, if I remember correctly, they're still handicapped in the background controlling the robots. And the idea behind these robots is they wanted to do it for soldiers, but they found out that not anybody could control these robots except for these handicapped kids. So that's how it kind of ended. And then they have a mysterious villain that wants to go after the robots and take control of them. We have Steel Cage number one. This was three stories competing. True Identity was about an FBI agent that is involved, that is an evolved superhero. Second is a bright boy about a super smart hero that is working with agents to prevent a disaster. That was my favorite. And third was Mark Waid's story is about a boy trying to rescue different animals from a ship of collectors so he can return them to their original worlds. Turns out he was a prisoner of the ship as well. Really good stories. Me and Bill read these, and this was like you get to vote when you read it. You get to vote for your favorite story. Turns out that Ahoy banned the voting because they thought it was biased. In other words, they only know they sell 3,000 copies, but they had 12,000 votes or something to, like that weird happened. So they decided, Tom Payer decided, hey, let's step back and let's reassess this. This was sort of success. Let's give each title their own series. So from Ahoy Comics, we'll be seeing each one instead of just one. Of those, I'm definitely looking forward to that second one. I thought it was fantastic. Swamp Thing Winter Special number one. This was the Tom King one. We have Swamp Thing protects a small child from a winter creature for many days, and eventually finds out that the boy is protecting is the winter monster, and he needs to kill it. So, it's weird. It's like this child is keeping saying, "You're saving me, Swamp Thing. Keep me from the monster." But it turns out the child really is the monster, and Swamp Thing needs to kill it. The second story is by Len Wein and Kelly Jones about a baby that is stolen by Solomon Grundy, and Swamp Thing, it must get involved. That wasn't as good, but it looks like I think Len Wein perished before a lot of dialogue could be put into this. So it came across as more of a silent issue, if I remember correctly. We have the No Ones. This was the Cave publication, which is about famous heroes somehow become forgotten. So imagine you're like superheroes. You have action figures. You're big with the media. Everybody knows who you are. And then some being comes in, and somehow all of society has forgotten who you are. That's kind of what the No Ones is. Resonant. I gave a 4 out of 5 as well, but man, this is like peeking on a 5 out of 5 from Vault Comics. It is so in the vein of that Sandra Bullock bird, the bird cage or whatever it was called, where they would carry those birds around to see if the monsters were there, or the Quiet Place where they couldn't make a sound. This is in that vein. A father has three kids, is about to go out for medication, and he takes like these. Are they like crickets or they're flying? I don't know what they are, but they could somehow detect when this monster comes. And from what I could tell, it's like this invisible monster that will just cut you the fuck up and like kill you. But the only way you could get, like stop it from killing you is you become like Martin of Nerdy Legion would be able to do this because he meditates. And this guy will meditate while the monster's attacking, and the monster won't attack. It's like you have to be trained to be in this like peaceful state of mind, and the monster won't affect you. And he's out trying to get medication for his youngest kid, and these crickets he carries around kind of tell you when something weird is happening. Yeah, I said it right. It's like The Quiet Place or The Birdcage. And the more I read into this story, the more I like it. We have Deathstroke the Terminator, number 2 through 4. Read this for the DC Spotlight. Terminator rescues a kidnapped kid and is going after the Ravager, a new Ravager. Gives the backstories of his son, as well as shows how the FBI is ready to take him out, take out Deathstroke. Ravager has plutonium that he stole from the train and almost killed his ex-wife. It gives the backstory of Joe and Grant. Ravager gives the plutonium to Quadak, and they have plans of blowing up a spot in the United States. Deathstroke finds out that the new Ravager was the Jackal, and that slit Joe's throat and kills him, and in the nick of time stops the bomb. This is a really good first arc of that Deathstroke series by Marv Wolfman. I can't remember the artist, but it was really well drawn. Really good dynamic drawing too. Freedom Fighters 2 through 8. This is the latest volume. In the future, the new teams attack the Nazis to try to bring back the American spirit and return Uncle Sam back to life, because America lost its spirit, so he was powerless and not existent. Their little victories are slowly bringing him back. Venditti really writes the human bomb cool, and Uncle Sam is excellent as well, as are the relatives of Hitler, because they're kind of spooky. It's like different generations of Hitler are out to keep the Nazi party going. I love the Freedom Fighters. I have this grown-in bias, I'll tell you right now. Just seeing them on the page kind of gives me goosebumps. I have this ingrained bias towards them, and I don't think it'll ever go away. We have Swamp Thing 2000, number 1. This is the Brian K. Vaughan Swamp Thing. This is Teffy as a senior in high school. You don't really know it's Teffy though. He like throws you a fast one, so you don't know it's his daughter because she looks different. She looks like a punk rocker. She's got two friends, a boy and a girl, and they hang out and they're getting ready for college. They're all going their different ways. They all go to prom together. The girl has another date, which you don't learn that girl's date too well. But Teffy is dating this boy who's in this group, and while the dance is going on, the guy tells the girl, you know, let's go get something to drink or something like that, but not Teffy, which is the date, his date. And Teffy goes, where the hell did they go? And she goes out like by the bleachers outside, and they're fucking. And Teffy, you don't know it's Teffy at the time, you know, she's got these plant powers, and she fucks him up, man. She kills him. And that's kind of the cliffhanger. It's awesome. I don't own this series, I don't think. But I need to get it. I read it off the DC Unlimited app. We have Zorro Masters Alex Toth, 5 out of 5. That Swamp Thing was a 5 out of 5. So now we're in the 5 out of 5s. Don Diego goes undercover with his servant to find out who's stealing money from his people. From the people trying to get supplies into California. It makes you think that the Don that he's trying to help is stealing it, but it turns out it's the men that are working for him. It was a really good story. Oh, loved it. Reprint from American Mythology, another American Mythology book. Mark of Zorro, it's the retelling of the Book of Diego, who has to look the fool. And he's trying to get married. That's kind of like an ongoing thing of Zorro. He's sort of like Bruce Wayne, except Bruce doesn't make himself look like an ass. Don Diego does. Zorro has to overcome the oppression by Captain and his men. Really good series. I am another character. I'm so biased because when I was young, I watched Zorro movies, and they inspired me. I don't know. It was before comics. I saw this character on the screen, and it blew my mind. And now I'm reading these Zorro comics, and I have made a goal for myself to try to buy every single Zorro comic ever published. And I started buying the Dell. I started buying the Gold Key. I'm getting all the ones that I can find, even the paper cuts. Just trying to complete as much Zorro as I can get because I just love it. I think tops wise, I'm close. I have to reassess my dynamite, make sure I have everything. Reaver number one at Image is at the top. This is something I shouldn't like because it's in the fantasy realm. I'm never going to say I don't like fantasy anymore because lately it's been knocking me on my ass. So it's a genre that I didn't give two shits about. And lately with the last batch of like four or five titles I got that were in fantasy, I was like, fuck, this is awesome. And this one just played with me from the beginning because there's nothing like me reading a story of like Battle Beyond the Stars and the Magnificent Seven, but in this type, it's in the world of sword and sorcery. I love those movies, man. You get a bunch of misfits together to protect something, and they don't even belong together. That's what this is in sword and sorcery fantasy realm, and I loved it. Justin Jordan killed it, man. Good stuff. We then get into September 3rd through September 9th. We'll start at the bottom. There were no movies that week. A total of 23 comics. A little bit better. We had three Zenoscope. I wonder if people say Zenoscope or I say Zenoscope. We had 15 Marvel, one Kickstarter, one Image, one Dynamite, one DC, and one Archie. The 3 out of 5s, which means I just liked it. There's nothing wrong with just liking a book. It just means I liked it. Was Nerd Nation Presents. It was a freebie from a Kickstarter, which was a horror-themed anthology, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. We then have Star Wars Age of Resistance, Poe Dameron. Poe enters an asteroid belt after someone who stole an alliance head of a droid. It turns out to be Admiral Holdo. She's the woman with purple hair. Interesting plot. Execution wasn't my favorite of the series. There's been others in that Resistance I've enjoyed quite a bit more. Powers of X number 3. It was a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. Looks like the X-Men of 100 years in the future have formulated a plan to attack Nimrod, possibly at the expense of Apocalypse and the Ninth Life of Mora McTaggart. Not sure I get all the Easter eggs of this book because I have missed out on a lot of X-Men stuff over the years, but I enjoyed it. Powers of X was far less superior to me than House of X. House of X was sort of like linear in our time. Powers of X was jumping around, now, zero, year zero, and then it would go year 10. Year 100, year 1000. And it kind of needed to be told because the conclusion of this series, you need to know why you're seeing the things you see in the future. And it comes to a head in the final issues of Powers and House of X. So check it out. I think I ordered the hardcover as well, which will be interesting to read all at once. We have Absolute Carnage number 2. This is Eddie and Pete barely escape Carnage. Pete says he will seek out help from heroes. Eddie's going to help the villains, so he goes to try to help Scorpion and help him from getting captured because Scorpion, Max, I think it's Max Gargan, he had the symbiote for a while, so Carnage is actually after him. He finds Miles and him fighting for their lives. Eddie manages to save Max, but looks like Miles is overcome by the symbiotes. We have Archie 462 at the last 3 out of 5. This was fun. It had a bunch of little stories as Archie and Betty enter a couple surf contest, and Betty has to do all the work. That one was pretty damn fun. Archie fucks up the lodge's hedges. That was kind of funny. And what I mean by hedges, like your plant hedges. Veronica said, "Hey, we're getting rid of these hedges, and we're getting new hedges." And he goes to try to impress Veronica and cut the hedges into these different shapes that say, "I love you, Veronica." And he cut the wrong fucking hedges. So Mr. Lodge wants to kill him. And then there was a deja vu story of Archie meeting a blonde girl, and Archie and his friends try to protect a rare squirrel. So it was 4 issues. That squirrel story is continued, but the other ones were done in one stories. I miss the old Archie. I'm happy with what they're doing. It just, I wish we'd go back to the old. We then get into 4 out of 5s. We have House of X number 3. Cyclops and crew get on the Blackbird and go into space to confront Mother Mold, the base up there. Looks like the team is destroyed when one of the scientists blows up a section to protect their secret. Sabretooth is released from incarceration on diplomatic immunity with Emma Frost and the Cuckoos. And that comes into play with the finale. That's kind of important. Roughly, Sabretooth a little bit. But the fact that most of these guys died, you're like, well, what the fuck? Okay. So you'll have to see how that pans out. And the bad thing about doing weekly reads is there might be some people that they I man, I like your show because you cover shit that's like not current. Well, this experiment is kind of blowing it to shit with the Absolute Carnage and House of X. But to tell you the truth, stay away from it a week. You'll forget every goddamn thing I'll say anyway. Star Wars Age of Resistance, Hux. This is Kylo Ren and Hux get stranded on a planet with an old Alderaan soldier. Hux seeks revenge on the officers that worked with his father. That's the second story. It's kind of building up like where Hux came from, because there's not a lot known of him. We have Death's Head. This is Teeny Howard, I think, writing this. Death's Head 1 and 2. Death's Head version 1 is abandoned on Earth by Yondu and turned into an amplifier for a band, which is kind of funny. He then regains consciousness and recovered by a Wiccan and Hulkling. So if you're a fan of Young Avengers, you need to be reading this because Wiccan and Hulkling and Hawkeye play a big part. Wiccan is keeping the future version of Death's Head under his bed. He really wants to become an Avenger in the future, and he's using that future Death's Head, and now you have the old Death's Head, and it's pretty interesting. This is a really good series. Cool artwork. Makes me want to collect Death's Head. I remember my first Death's Head was Marvel UK Death's Head 2, and I had nothing to do with Death's Head, but this original Death's Head is badass. That's one I want to read. We have Absolute Carnage, Lethal Protectors number 1. Shows a flashback with John Jameson talking to Eddie and Pete. Then cuts to the present where Carnage has captured Misty Knight. She uses her arm to escape to the sewers, but looks like to be running from a bunch of symbiotes. The Demogoblin first appearance. It's a female Demogoblin. We have Absolute Carnage Scream 2. This is Donna Diego, even though dead, regains consciousness when attacking Andy Benton, the second Mania. Patricia is in control of Scream body now, and Carnage shows up and regains control of Scream. This is actually going to be an ongoing series. That's a 4 out of 5. Arrow number 2. This is the Asian Marvel superheroes. Arrow finds out her mentor is behind the attacks, turning the Shanghai buildings into monsters. She confronts her. There's a flashback to where her boyfriend is about to propose to her, but Arrow is not ready for that kind of commitment and uses her powers to disrupt her plans, his plans. However, her boss helps her out in that regard. It might be her mentor in this flashback. Then Red Feather wants to take the swords away from Wave. Wave and Arrow confront him, but release the swords. Then we meet Wave's family, and Arrow says she will help Wave get her swords back. I've been enjoying these series. I don't know. It feels slightly different. The best one that I would recommend, if you want to try the new Asian, is Heroes are New Agents of Atlas. That's the best. And then I would say Sword Master, and then Arrow. Reaver number two. This is the I talked about the number one. The winter has really hit hard on our group of misfits. They want to escape but can't. If they are not administered an antidote every 24 hours, so you learn that's one of the claws that brings them together. It's kind of like a Suicide Squad thing. They have to go on this mission or they won't get the antidote every 24 hours. They'll die. The group is attacked by sword lions, but they were able to fight them off and kill their leader. It was really interesting. Swordmaster number two, another Asian Marvel hero. Swordmaster receives a cube or a puzzle to solve about his dad's whereabouts, only to be attacked by a monster that the delivery person turns into. The sword carves up this monster. An agent then discovers who the new Swordmaster is. She's a female agent. Shang-Chi is training the new Swordmaster. We have Chamber of Chills number one. This is an older Marvel book. The first story is about some 20-somethings going into the mountains and getting killed by a werewolf. The second is about a heartless and abusive warden. And the third is about a guy who dies and goes to purgatory only to die again. Really fun series. That's what got me on this kick with Reed, buying a lot of these Marvel reprints. We got Death's Blood 3 and 4 from Zenoscope. This is a fantasy book, Sword and Sorcery. Again, a top book, 4 out of 5. Sig is fighting with Freya to defeat the beast of a man called Eric, who harms villages. Sig manifests powers to defeat him, and his sword burns when it touches anyone but his skin, and he has more strength. And hears voices in his head. They meet with their troops. Sig talks to Rain to find out what the dragon's blood has done to him. Then Sig and Vera are off to war to fight Ivor. They meet up with Ivor to return Eric to him. Ivor breaks his neck and is ready for war. Sig and Freya get attacked by Ivor, who has all kinds of power. Ivar stabs Freya, and Sig turns into a dragon and slaughters a lot of people. It looks like this is building out to an Asgardian gods in the Zenoscope world, which is cool because they have a huge continuity. We have Hellchild number four. As Hellchild is captured, everyone is being auctioned off to blood-drinking monsters and aliens. The boy that Hellchild is protecting is drained of blood right in front of everyone. Hellchild manages to fall down from her trap and drink some of the blood that, the boy leaked, which allows her to manifest her powers again and destroy almost all of the creatures as well as the owner of the auction. She is now weakened, but now wants to go after the pimp, Tor, that got her into this entire mess. And you got to remember that this story all started off with the murder of a prostitute. Crazy and fun. This is Future Foundation number two, 4 out of 5. They rescue the Maker, who they think is Reed Richards. Julie Power runs into the Onslaught universe's Bucky in prison. The Maker has a band of four villains, and they have to fight with the Future Foundation. The Maker thinks he killed the female Bucky, but she's not dead. It's a very entertaining series. They are trying to track down the remnants of Molecule Man to restore him. Also gives a fantastic story of the lives of both Reeds in the parallel timeline. This series almost flew under my radar, and I'm so glad I picked up the issue one at the comic store because I turned down the pre-order. Death Defying Devil from Dynamite, the last 4 out of 5. This is a fun issue. A couple is terrorized by a gang who is in their neighborhood. The devil fights them off. But another hooded figure enters the fray and beats the crap out of our hero, Death-Defying Devil. So the tenants of the building have to bring him in and care for the hero. But the police and hospital will do nothing for them because of their lives and their ethnicity. The gang attacks and demands they supply one female to them. The devil, although injured, beats the living hell out of them. And that was after he was injured. This series by Gail Simone is really good. I think it's Walter Giovanni. We then get into the 5 out of 5s, Marvel Comics 1000. They were one-page stories every year since Marvel Comics number 1 was published, with just one-page stories with great creators, really cool stories and art with an underlying theme of a black mask and the three X's that are going to play a part in an event in Marvel 2020. And they've already solicited number 1 of that event. And I think that's a one shot, but it's going to lead into something else. So we got Resonant number 2. That's from Vault. We have the father finds a dog on his journey, and when the wave attacks, he is able to rest his body, so he is unaffected when the wave comes. He trained his daughter as well, but she does get slightly injured. She doesn't have that full peace mode that she can get to. The dad runs across a cult looking for a looking group, but sneaks past them and meets a witch to trade. He needs to trade the witch those crickets that can detect the monsters to get health asthma medication for his son. They were tricked. The dog and the father are captured by that witch. The middle son meets another kid who found a knife in the forest. It looks like the wave causes you to commit harm to yourself by making you cut yourself until you die. So that was really good. 5 out of 5. Absolute Carnage. Symbiote Spider-Man. This is by far the best done in one story I have read in a long time. Ties into the event, but it's a story in the past when the symbiote escapes the Baxter Building when Spider-Man Reed was captured it with Sonics. And it bonds with a tourist outside of the Baxter Building, and it's a judge. The judge gets into a fray with the right White Rabbit, who's a Spider-Man villain, and she ends up surprising the judge and his son. His son has a heart attack, so during her trial, he tries to kill her, but kills an innocent instead. So he lost his son because of a joke, essentially, by White Rabbit. And then you cut to the present when he is up for parole. And is attacked by Carnage and killed. At least I think he was killed. We have Superman Year One. Absolutely love this story. Shows Clark basic training and Navy SEAL training. He gets dishonorably discharged because of a terrorist attack on an oil rig. He meets and falls in love with Lori Lamaris and has to defeat her father Poseidon. I love this story so much, I had to go to eBay and buy Lori Lamaris' first appearance. She is the woman that used to date him that's a mermaid. Yeah, adored that. And then we'll get into the final week. Hopefully, I could do this before Barb gets home. We have September 10th through September 17th. We'll start at the bottom. There were only 12 comics. There were 8 Marvel, one, two Kickstarter, one Charlton. And that's like a new Charlton. Charlton kind of came up with this thing called the Charlton Arrow. You can follow them on a Facebook. And they do publish some books, and you can usually get them from Amazon. This one I got from a Kickstarter, but I called it Charlton. Antarctic Press is one. And Ghost Spider Annual. So we'll start with the Marvel. The 3 out of 5 was the Ghost Spider Annual. Gwen is on the 616 when she runs into an old trap set up by Arcade. She manages to have success in his game and exit the game after fighting several robot versions of Spider-Man villains and heroes. Which means I liked it. We get into the 4 out of 5s. Power Pack, one shot. Whitey is trying to save a baby Akante. They're like these huge whales. You'll even see them talk about it in the Marvel Universe number 1 by Mark Waid. From the brood ship, they end up crashing on Earth, which disrupts Alex's 13th birthday at a rock concert. Power Pack, along with Wolverine, Kitty Pryde, manage to defeat the Brood and help Whitey repair his ship. Katie gives Alex the best gift ever, her signed collectible doll by that particular rock star. We then get into Kickstarter Primal. This one I had to actually ask them, why didn't I get my books? And the guy said, sorry, man, I thought I shipped everything. And he shipped 3 and 4 to me. Even though I think 5's out, I don't know how I'm going to get it because I didn't support 5 because I hadn't got 3 and 4 yet. And I was like curious if I was going to get them. I didn't want to support something I didn't get the other two, but I love this series. Barb's here, so I'm going to take a pause for the cause and then continue with Primal later. And I'm back, and we left off with Primal. And Primal is that a Jungle Girl book and a Kickstarter. And this one, I was successful in contacting Primal creators on Facebook, and I said, "Hey, I never got these." And he said, "Okay, I'll fix it." And then 6 months later, I hadn't gotten anything, and I sent it again, and he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And then he sent me them, so I got them, but I didn't do their next Kickstarter because of that. But I really wish there was a way for me to purchase these after they come out, because I really do enjoy this Kickstarter. And I went to eBay to see if there was a 5 yet, and I didn't even find a 1. So whoever's buying these is not selling these. I guess they like it. So a Primal's doctor friend is captured by the villains and has to give a whereabouts to Atlantia, where Primal is visiting her adopted mother who is dying. They attack Atlantia but manage to fight them off. The doctor, who is Primal's lover, is being tortured, and they kind of know it's her lover. Leave the Light On. This is a Antarctic Press story. It's about a serial killer that comes back from the dead and murders a little girl and her mother. A detective and his partner are trying to find out how this guy came back from the dead, or is it a copycat killer? At the end, the killer goes after the detective's female partner. It was really good first issue from Antarctic Press. We have Ghosts Giant number 1. This was the DC 100-page Walmart book, and I don't think it's come out yet for the direct market, but it was at Walmart and I read it. It had a Spectre story where Jim Corrigan has to find out why an old woman threw herself out of a building. It turns out it is a human who steals age from people with this particular device that looks like a clock. He tries to become super by stealing the Spectre, but that does not work out too well. The second story is about a young girl that is being chased by some goons because she witnessed a robbery or a death. It didn't really say. And the gentleman ghost tries to help her, but in his attempt to help her, she ends up getting shot. It's a really dark story. And becoming a ghost with the gentleman ghost, it's kind of creepy. The next one's a Constantine story where he helps a friend of Chaz, that's like his buddy in the Hellblazer book, remove a demon from her body. She thinks the house is haunted, and it is, but the demon is what is making it bad, not the haunting. And the next 4 out of 5 is House of X, number 4. The X-Men ship nearly destroyed, but Professor X states they must accomplish their mission. They lose Archangel and Husk in the crash. They break up in teams to destroy the master mold. From what I see, everyone but Jean might be dead. Maybe even Jean. A great moment with Wolverine and Nightcrawler talking about the afterlife. In other words, before. It's almost like two guys talking, knowing they're gonna die, and just chatting it up. We have Absolute Carnage, Symbiote of Vengeance, number 1. This is a Ghost Rider story. Pretty much the prelude to Ghost Rider number 1. It was really well done. The Ghost Rider summons Danny to help Alejandra from the Symbiote. Alejandra was the female Ghost Rider about a decade ago, I think. He fails and Alejandra dies and is now with Blaze in hell. Blaze is kind of running hell at this point. Johnny. She temporarily had Blaze help her save a girl that got her symbiote. It's a fun issue with three generations of Ghost Riders, and you got to remember that Johnny and Danny are brothers. That's very fascinating. Check out Ghost Rider number 0. It does a really good job of describing their mom and how these two guys are related. You'd never think it. You have Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool number 2. Really good story. Carnage is after Deadpool because he bonded with the symbiote. Carnage is after him with three villains that have symbiotes: Will-O-Wisp, Conundrum, and Freak. The only one that I really recognize is Will-O-the-Wisp. He defeats them, but then is captured by Carnage himself. It's a very fun phone call conversation between Deadpool and Spidey. Pretty funny. We have Fantastic Four for Yancey Street. Number one, this is a one shot. It gives some backstory of Ben's brother getting stabbed because of drug dealing. Ben donates to get a youth center put up for him in his honor. And somebody from the Yancey Street gang spray paints it. He goes after the boy and sees he did it for because of the landlord is kicking everyone out to sell the property to rich investors. Thing stops this from happening and defeats the landlord's bodyguards, the terrible trio. I really want to find out more about this group because they were entertaining. They used Reed's tech to make a building which is smaller and have more space for everyone. It looks like they have this building for all these tenants to live in, and it's big on the inside but small on the outside because of Reed Tech. Really good story, really good art, just a fun one shot. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Secret Romances, the collected edition. And I did own the first one already. I got it from this Paul Kupperberg Charlton book. This is an anthology of romance-related stories. It has a story of two cops that hate one another but then fall in love, a story about a judge and his wife who look down on all deviants of society but then have a deviant sexual life, a story of a handicapped girl that goes on a blind date but the guy sees her and walks away. That is a sad story, and that's not a comic, that is prose. So he might have like two prose stories in this book. That was the best one. It was just so well done that I was almost in tears. And she doesn't understand because her friend that set her up on this date was supposed to have disclosed everything for this blind date to work. It was very sad. An older man loses his wife, and it seems it takes the members of his apartment building to get him out to come out. That was a really well story too, because he became a recluse, like he wouldn't leave, and it was like three neighbors that actually got him to come out of his room, and it was pretty heartfelt. Secret Romances, the collected edition, really entertaining, 5 out of 5. We have Captain America 166. This is volume one. Yellow Claw, who is an interesting Iron Man villain and villain that I've seen several places, controls Cap to fatally hurt Nick Fury. Cap comes back to his apartment and then is evicted, so he has to go ask help from Sam with Falcon. Cap and Falcon go after the Yellow Claw, who is using mummies at a museum to resurrect his niece, who opposed him, into a monster he can control. Really good story. Pick this one up at Hall of Justice in Parker, Colorado. And I read it the weekend that we were going to a Rockies game. Really good story. The next 5 out of 5, same thing. I picked Thor 169 at Parker at the Hall of Justice, And it was Thor confronts Galactus, and he tells Thor his origin, which involves the Watcher and a virus that killed everyone from his planet, except a few. And they said, "Fuck it, we want to kill this virus. Let's just take this ship, ram it into the sun, and burn this virus to death, so it won't. Yes, we'll have killed our entire race, but we'll all die." Everyone died except for Galactus. Really tragic story, and the radiation made him into Galactus, essentially. He became this super being that needs to nourish on worlds. Thor is going to fight Galactus, but then gets summoned back to Earth. Really good story. Thor 169, 5 out of 5. So that was a total of 12 comics that week. Let's hit the highlights. Secret Romances, the collected edition, was a 5 out of 5. Captain America 166, Volume 1, 5 out of 5. Thor Volume 1, 169, 5 out of 5. The previous week, we had Marvel Comics 1000, 5 out of 5. Resonant number 2, 5 out of 5. Absolute Carnage, Symbiote Spider-Man, number 1, 5 out of 5. And finally, Superman Year 1, number 2, Black Label, 5 out of 5. We then get into that previous week of that, and we had Swamp Thing from 2000, the Brian K. Vaughan run, number 1. That was a 5 out of 5. We have from American Mythology, Zorro Masters, Alex Toth, number 1. We have Mark of Zorro, number 1. And from Image Comics, Reaver, number 1. So that's how it all breaks down. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you listen to my new podcast coming up this week, or give it a shot. And we'll talk to you next week. And thanks for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, probably the best place to reach me. If you choose to send email, I will get it. I read my email daily. I check it at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can also type that name into Facebook and go to our Facebook page at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there or on the webpage. And you can comment at both places. Would appreciate any comments that you give. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you. Bye. And enjoy your comics, as Mike Pindell would say.